From the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, I'm Mark Magnuson, and welcome to Iowa Ag Matters. In today's show, Riley speaks with Iowa Cattlemen's Association CEO Brian Whaley. I'm joined by National Pork Board CEO Bill Even to discuss long-term demand, and Dustin talks about the Endangered Species Act with Caitlin Glover of the NCBA. Segment number one of the show brought to you by FBI Buildings. It's time now to welcome our hosts, Dustin Huffman and Andy Peterson.
Busy morning here on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, not only from a weather perspective, but from a coverage perspective. Thanks so much for being here. As always, Dustin, you've been sort of ground central as far as heavy rains and some severe storms as well in central Iowa.
Yeah, that we have. In fact, we were just commenting before we went on Iowa Ag Matters here today. It was raining very heavily out here in Des Moines at the office, and more than the gutters could even handle. And you know, talking about some places have already seen more rain in the last couple of weeks than we saw all of last year. And it's definitely raining. We got flash flood watches up, severe thunderstorm watches up for a good chunk of the day. And the flash flood watches are definitely warranted. We are seeing a lot of roads that are flooded out and ponds that are overflowing. And even the Des Moines River has jumped its banks in a few places.
Yeah, that is definitely true, that more rain in the last month than all of last growing season in parts of eastern Iowa, too. One of the farms that we have near Martell had 4.5 inches during the growing season last year. And now so far in the last month, according to the monitor data that's out there, 5.03 inches and counting. So we've eclipsed the growing season mark here, and the corn and soybeans are barely emerged, which is absolutely crazy. The governor signed two very important bills to help not only the cattle industry, but animal production and all of the agriculture, really, in Iowa. We'll hear from Brian Whaley on that. Our friends from the National Pork Board visiting with Mark Magnuson as well on the program today. Let's get going on the markets here first, Dustin.
Yep, we got Joe Kemp from Comstock coming up here to talk about what's going on in the grains with Mark Magnuson right now.
Joined today by Joe Camp of Comstock for opening market discussion. Joe, a lot of green on the screen to end the day on Monday. What are we looking at today in the grains?
Turnaround Tuesday, at least so far, we're lower overnight. That in part a response to the crop progress numbers out after the bell yesterday. Surprising to the high side, the planting progress estimates with corn at 70% for the national average. That's a couple of points better than expected. You also have really a narrowing of the delay that was evident last week when we were further behind the national or the five-year average. You look at the same for soybeans at 52% complete. That's also 3 points ahead of a normal average. And so we do have, you know, weather delays in a lot of places. You go on into the eastern corn belt, like Illinois and Indiana, they're further behind, relatively speaking. But it was a surprise, given that we had a couple of really strong days for planting over the weekend. That's now weighed, though, against a wet forecast ahead. So down overnight, but potentially not here to stay. We'll see.
Joe, yesterday, once again, it was wheat that was kind of in the spotlight and leading the charge, and a big movement to the upside for all three wheat classes. Is that strictly related again to what we're seeing with those weather conditions in Russia? I know they had some frost once again over the weekend.
Yeah, that seems to be the driver. Conditions in Russia deteriorating further. Talk about replant needed or just simply a lost crop. And it did spread, though, to Ukraine as well. Dryness there, at risk of hurting production for that big wheat crop, and also an escalation again of the war in Ukraine and this threat ongoing, but even it seems thicker, the possibility that Russia could retaliate against Ukraine and target some grain infrastructure and shipping assets around the Black Sea region. So all of that putting a bid under the wheat here yesterday. Wheat has been a leader now for some time. We're seeing technically these contracts break out and potentially start to go a long ways in reversing the broader downtrend that they've been in. And it's timely. Of course, we're just ahead of the harvest here in the U.S. If we can have some better prices to start to sell into here, we're going to be thankful for that. The next question will be, though, about harvest prospects. We had the wheat tour last week to guide the market. Now we just need to get into this crop and see what's out there or not.
We'll have more from Joe Camp of Comstock Investments coming up a little later on in the program to talk about the livestock markets. Right now, Andy Peterson's here. He's got his first round of the three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
Making progress as 21% of Iowa's corn crop was planted last week, according to the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Upper Midwest Regional Office, where the statistician is Melissa Couch.
78% of Iowa's expected corn crop has been planted, 8 days behind last year and 4 days behind the five-year average. 47% of the corn crop has emerged, 2 days behind last year but equal to normal.
So despite a busy week in the field, not much catch-up in terms of back to normal. Now, as far as the soybean crop goes, we did see a big jump there as well, with 61% of the crop in the ground. That's a week behind last year and 2 days behind the five-year average. Almost a quarter of that crop has emerged.
Number two.
Trending higher is Iowa dairy production, according to the latest report from the USDA. While they do crop progress reports, they also report on other parts of Iowa agriculture, including dairy production. Milk in Iowa during April of 2024 was up 4% from a year ago. The average number of milk cows was 243,000 head, about 1,000 above last month and up 4,000 from April of 2023.
Number one.
Celebrating a win for Iowa agriculture, as Governor Kim Reynolds has signed two high-priority bills for the Iowa Cattlemen's Association, where CEO Brian Whaley says the first of them, the Meat Integrity Bill, protects against the misbranding of non-meat products.
Really, it's a truth in labeling bill. It's about transparency, making sure that consumers know exactly what they're getting, and that if a product is beef, pork, or chicken, that it's going to come from an animal.
He says the second bill reinstates the livestock capital gains deduction, which will prevent a new tax on producers. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Spring is in the air, and so are the savings at FBI Buildings. From now until June 1st, take advantage of our exclusive spring building savings. For over six decades, FBI has been the trusted name in the post-frame industry. Starting at just $27,000, you can own your dream building. Want to learn more? Call us now at 800-552-2981 or visit FBIBuildings.com to request a quote.
Well, obviously, the secret to marketing is to get people used to the topics and the products that you are trying to sell. And that's what the National Pork Board is working on with the Pork Checkoff to help market our products for the generations that are coming up. We'll hear more about that. Mark Magnuson will visit with them next on Iowa Ag Matters.
Well, some concern, but being proactive can reverse it over the amount of pork consumed by younger generations. Let's talk about that here on Iowa Ag Matters. Andy and Dustin Riley making us sound good. And Mark now visiting with Bill Evans, CEO of the National Pork Board, on their efforts to help increase pork consumption amongst the next generation of parents. Mark?
Joined today by Bill Evans. He is CEO of the National Pork Board, and also Brett Kaysen, the Vice President of Producer and State Engagement with the National Pork Board. And Bill, here on the show today, wanted to ask you, seen a lot of change in the pork industry over the past few years. Could you explain just kind of what that's meant for the entire pork industry?
Thanks, Mark, and thanks for allowing us to visit with you and your guests today. I would start off with an old saying that change is inevitable, but adaptation and survival are optional. And I know on our farm back in South Dakota, it doesn't look the same as it did for when my dad was running or my grandfather or my great-grandfather. But my brother and my son and I now adapted to many of those changes. And so that's exactly what the U.S. pork industry and the Pork Checkoff is doing today. So one of the main takeaways is that among younger generations, fresh pork consumption is starting to decline. And the good news, however, is that decline is reversible. And that's what the checkoff is here to work on today. And the main takeaway from that is our new Consumer Connect platform and a groundbreaking scale research that we've never done before to understand consumers at a really granular level and meet them where they're at with questions they have about food in general, pork in particular, or how we're raising the pigs. is at the end of the day, this is not about what we want to tell them. This is about us going and listening to those consumers, then providing them with that information about the product or about the industry necessary to make them feel really good about incorporating pork as part of their diet, and particularly the younger generations.
And Brett, that point that Bill just made is something we've talked a lot with, I think, a lot of commodity groups in recent years, and that is, yes, things may change. There might be new regulations, whatever it may be that affects the industry. But at the end of the day, you need to do what the consumer wants, what they're looking for in terms of purchasing products. And so how does that work with the research that you've been able to do, the research you're continuing to do of trying to look towards that long-term demand?
Yes, this is definitely a long-term consumer strategy. And change is inevitable, as Bill said earlier. But what I would say is we have more data and resources than we've ever had at our fingertips to actually get inside the minds and the hearts of the modern day eater. And that's what I really enjoy about this work, is that as the generations change from younger and as they move older, and or they change in terms of their location, the part of the country, or your demographic ethnically, we are going to speak directly to you about the relevance of pork. And those are data-based decisions. We know more about the modern day pork eater than we've ever known in the history of the pork industry. And this is a pivotal point for our industry in which we can create relevance for those individual consumers that we have broken down through seven different segments through this Consumer Connect work that makes us more effective and more efficient to create a pull through for this amazing thing called pork, the protein of choice, as I like to say.
May is National Beef Month, and with the warmer temperatures of the spring season, there's no better time to fire up the grill and enjoy some quality Iowa-raised beef. We all know that beef tastes great, but it can also be an important part of a healthy, balanced diet. Just a 3-ounce serving of beef provides more than 10 essential nutrients like protein, iron, zinc, and vitamins B12 and B6, while only clocking in around 170 calories on average. Studies have also shown that lean beef can help to maintain normal cholesterol levels and promote heart health. On top of that, beef is a highly versatile meat that can be enjoyed in everything from burgers to steaks and tacos to pizzas. Beef cattle are also excellent nutrient upcyclers. About 90% of what they eat can't be digested by humans, making them invaluable to a sustainable food system. Support your local Iowa beef producer by enjoying some nutrient-dense beef during this National Beef Month. This message brought to you by your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Take a look around the state here at the cash grain prices at elevators. A lot of fluctuation here. Some hot bids as well, as it's a little unique this marketing season with the producer owning most of the grain. Dustin has the numbers for you. Up to the minute next on Iowa Ag Matters.
Time to run down the cash bids here on Iowa Ag Matters for this Tuesday. I'm Dustin Huffman. Cash prices looking a little bit higher if there's any movement at all. Nothing too significant, but just a little bit movement upward. Let's take a look at where they're at today. Starting at ADM Burlington, they're 15 cents under on corn at 445. Soybeans 12 cents under at 1226. Cargill and Eddyville even today on corn, cash bid 460. New Co-op Algona, a nickel under on corn, 455. Soybeans 55 cents under, cash bid 1183. Agstate Sheldon, 15 cents over on corn, 475. Soybeans, 73 cents under. They're at 1165. Agstate Elta, 13 cents under on corn. Cash bid, 447. Soybeans, 58 cents under today at 1180. Cargill Cedar Rapids, even on corn. They're at 460. Soybeans, a dime under. Their cash bid, 1228. Nexus Co-op Marble Rock, 7 cents under on corn, 453. Soybeans, 60 cents under at 1178. At Lincoln Way Ethanol Nevada, they're 8 cents under on corn, cash bid 452. ADM Des Moines, 20 cents under on soybeans, cash bid 1218. New Co-op Red Oak, a dime under on corn today, 450. Soybeans 50 cents under at 1188. Mid-Iowa Cooperative Green Mountain, 20 cents under on corn, cash bid 440. Soybeans 55 cents under at 1183. New Co-op Sheraton, 17 cents under on corn, 443. Soybeans 55 cents under, cash bid 1183. Walk-On Feed Ranch, 7 cents under on corn, 453. Soybeans, 49 cents under at 1189. New Co-op Glidden, a nickel under on corn today, cash bid 455. Soybeans, 50 cents under at 1188. Innovative Ag Services Farley, 18 cents under on corn at 442. Soybeans, 46 cents under, cash bid 1192.
And the Cargill Muscatine, they're 20 cents under on corn today, 4.40. Soybeans, 23 cents under. They're at 12.15. Cash corn and soybean bids are subject to change without notice. Always check with your local elevator when making sales to obtain the most recent price. And that's been a look at the cash bids here on Iowa Ag Matters.
There are so many decisions that go into being a successful soybean farmer. Plant date, row spacing, water management, crop rotation, soil temperature, cover crop, soil pH, nutrients, water conditions. Whew. At least becoming a farmer member of the Iowa Soybean Association is one straightforward decision in your life. If you market at least 250 bushels of soybeans annually, ISA's farmer membership is available at no additional cost thanks to your soy checkoff investment. Just activate or confirm online and start reaping the benefits. It's a no-brainer. The Iowa Soybean Association proudly celebrates 60 years of moving our industry forward.
We're just hitting our stride here on Iowa Ag Matters for the day. We got a complete rundown of the midday grain and livestock market numbers coming up here just a little bit later on. Mark and Andy will have that for you. Don't forget about the free market podcast sent to your mobile device through Google, Amazon, Apple, Spotify, and Podbean. And you can also find a replay at iowaagnet.com. Iowa Ag Matters. We'll be right back. Well, earlier, Governor Kim Reynolds signed some bills that will affect the cattle producers here in this state. Riley had the chance to talk with Brian Whaley about it, and here's that conversation right now.
Brian, thanks for taking the time to visit with us today. Last week, we saw Governor Reynolds sign two bills into law that were obviously a high priority for the Iowa Cattlemen's Association. First off, let's talk about one of those bills, the Meat Integrity Bill. What's included in that, and what does it mean for the industry?
Yeah, Riley, thanks for having me on today and to share a little bit about some of the priorities that we worked on during this year's legislative session. And obviously, we couldn't do it without some of the work that's done by our legislators. And we were fortunate enough to have Senator Don Driscoll and Representative Heather Hora come to us and knew that we were one of our priorities was about, what's the future of this lab-grown protein that's coming out or cell cultured protein, whatever the latest names are, and wanted to help us kind of get a bill that would help. I'd make sure that meat is identified as meat. And if it's not, then that is labeled the way that it should be. So there isn't any confusion, and which is why it's called the Meat Integrity Bill. And so really, it's a truth in labeling bill. It's about transparency, making sure that consumers know exactly what they're getting, and that if a product is beef, pork, or chicken, that it's going to come from an animal. So just making sure that people know what they're getting in the products. As these products continue to evolve and we hear more about them, they're going to be more prominent on the store shelves or in the refrigerator sections there, or the meat cases. And I just think, and our association felt it was important that we make sure that there was some type of labeling bill that would identify that those are not necessarily derived from a normal meat process or come from a real live animal.
And then, Brian, that second bill, HF 2649, was just prevented attacks on producers, brought back the livestock capital gains deduction. Tell us a little bit about this bill and the impact it has.
Well, this is another key priority, obviously, and Riley, I'm new, so I don't know all the history on how this all came about within the tax, past tax codes, but obviously, this is something that we wanted to make sure that got reinstated into this and the livestock capital gains deduction. And it really focuses on preventing the net capital gain on the sale of livestock from being considered individual income for tax purposes. So if you look at it, you want to know an impact that we can probably, and you could look some different models and numbers as you want to make some projections, but this has the potential to save producers more than $18 million by the year 2030 on the cost of what that could be tax implications. And so it was very important for us to make sure that we were working on behalf of our producers and our members on the priorities that they had set. And obviously, both of these bills will help maintain and make sure that our producers are trying to be as profitable as they can down the road.
All right, Brian. And of course,
just having those two bills get, you know, signed on the same day is really a big thing to see, because, you know, you've seen the end result now of the efforts to get those passed, and not only to see them happen, but happen on the same day really shows that commitment to protecting that cattle industry, right?
You bet, Riley. We just thank Governor Reynolds for making the trip out. We were at Pat Mora Bloom's farm over in eastern Iowa. Just a beautiful farm. We thank them for hosting that event. A great setting for us to sign two key legislative bills that are going to really be impactful for our ag industry here in the state. And it's not just, you know, the meat integrity bill, not just specifically for the cattle industry, even though we were one of the leads on that, but for all of our livestock operations across the state. And the capital gains does the same thing. But we're just really excited to have those. We had a very successful legislative session and excited about where the future is in the cattle industry here in Iowa.
Well, thanks, Riley, for that great information. Andy Peterson is back now. He's got round two of your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
Mostly positive is the agricultural industry reaction to the House version of the Farm Bill ahead of the markup. American Soybean Association President Josh Gacko believes the legislation will significantly enhance the effectiveness and accessibility of the Farm Safety Net programs. American Farm Bureau pointing out the conservation and research programs help farmers protect the resources they've been entrusted with and allow American ag to innovate. Now, Corey Rosenbusch, who's president of the Fertilizer Institute, adds the text will encourage greater adoption of nutrient stewardship and conservation practices by growers across the country and here in the state of Iowa.
Number two.
Making progress as 21% of Iowa's corn crop was planted last week, according to the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Upper Midwest Regional Office, where the statistician is Melissa Couch.
78% of Iowa's expected corn crop has been planted, 8 days behind last year and 4 days behind the five-year average. 47% of the corn crop has emerged, 2 days behind last year but equal to normal.
So despite a busy week in the field, not much catch-up in terms of back to normal. Now, as far as the soybean crop goes, we did see a big jump there as well, with 61% of the crop in the ground. That's a week behind last year and 2 days behind the five-year average. Almost a quarter of that crop has emerged.
Number one.
Celebrating a win for Iowa agriculture as Governor Kim Reynolds has signed two high-priority bills for the Iowa Cattlemen's Association, where CEO Brian Whaley says the first of them, the Meat Integrity Bill, protects against the misbranding of non-meat products.
Really, it's a truth in labeling bill. It's about transparency, making sure that consumers know exactly what they're getting, and that if a product is beef, pork, or chicken, that it's going to come from an animal.
He says the second bill reinstates the livestock capital gains deduction, which will prevent a new tax on producers. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
There are so many decisions that go into being a successful soybean farmer. Plant date, row spacing, water management, crop rotation, soil temperature, cover crop, soil pH, nutrients, water conditions. Whew. At least becoming a farmer member of the Iowa Soybean Association is one straightforward decision in your life. If you market at least 250 bushels of soybeans annually, ISA's farmer membership is available at no additional cost thanks to your soy checkoff investment. Just activate or confirm online and start reaping the benefits. It's a no-brainer. The Iowa Soybean Association proudly celebrates 60 years of moving our industry forward.
Markets a little bit cooler than they were yesterday in terms of big jumps. Mark and I have the numbers for you. Next on your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture, thanks for joining the Iowa Ag Matters program from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
This is the Midday Market Update on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson. Joined today by John Heinberg of Total Farm Marketing for our midday market discussion. John, to start the day, looked like a turnaround Tuesday after we had a lot of green on the screen yesterday, a lot of red to start the day today. Has that continued here through midday?
Yeah, for the most part, we've seen selling pressure, especially in the corn and soybean markets. Now, let's go touch on the kind of the star of the show so far this week has been the wheat market, touching near limit higher. You actually did trade limit higher during the day yesterday before settling a little bit below that. This morning came out of the gates again with some buying strength. did touch the $7 handle. Actually, Chicago July wheat, $7.75 is a high today. And then prices have reversed over. Now, since then, we've been pretty two-sided between negative and positive. So I think the closer is going to be a very big key in terms of where this market is. If it drops into a negative trading session at the end of the day, that'll be another reversal at that $7 window.
That was John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing. Here's Andy Peterson with more livestock news.
Beef first, as always. Daily estimated slaughter total numbers, 120,000 head. That's 4,000 more than a week ago and 5,000 less than a year ago. Boxes are mixed, with choice taking a break here, down 75 cents from its recent run-up on 59 loads of sales at $312.70. Select up $1.95, $299.35, 22 loads selling there. And the spread narrowing a bit to $13.55. As far as the daily estimated slaughter totals for pork coming in, 482,000 head. That's 20,000 more than a week ago and 21,000 more than a year ago. Cash markets here as we take a look at yesterday's closes for comparison purposes. Barrels and gilts producers sold on a carcass basis, negotiated purchase-wise. 2,820 head of sales of the weighted average price coming in at 86.43, down $2.14. Formula purchases, a strong run of 170,000 head. The weighted average price, 90.58, so that market was 30 cents higher. As far as what's happening here midday so far, we see that negotiated purchases, only 2,400 head of sales. The weighted average price at 88.49, the market essentially flat. Formula purchases, only 101,000 head of movement, and the weighted average price also flat, $90.50 a hundredweight.
May is National Beef Month, and with the warmer temperatures of the spring season, there's no better time to fire up the grill and enjoy some quality Iowa-raised beef. Just a 3-ounce serving of beef provides more than 10 essential nutrients like protein, iron, zinc, and vitamins B12 and B6, while only clocking in around 170 calories on average. Support your local Iowa beef producer by enjoying some nutrient-dense beef during this National Beef Month. This message brought to you by your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
At midday, July corn down 3 3/4 at 456 3/4. July soybeans down 16.5 at 1231.5. July soybean meal down $5.70 at 368.40. July soybean oil down 63 cents at 45.69. Chicago wheat up 6.25 at 695 even. Minneapolis wheat down 1 3/4 at 737.5. Kansas City hard red wheat up 2.25 at 699 even. July oats up 1 3/4 at 367.5. On the Merck, June live cattle up $1.43 at 182.90. August feeder cattle up 65 cents at 259.12. June lean hogs down 35 cents at 96.57. June pork cutout unchanged at 103.50. Class 3 milk down 75 cents at 20.48. That was a check of the midday markets on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson.
We jump back into the market commentary here on Iowa Ag Matters. Andy and Dustin, and once again, Mark Magnuson, focusing on the livestock analysis with Joe Kim from Comstock. Here's Mark.
Let's flip over to the other side of the ag marketplace. What's happening in the protein sector?
We see the livestock up for the start of the week, but then backing off for the most part here. We have the cattle still at a pretty reasonable discount to the cash trade, which should lean supportive. And we're watching that the margins are there to support another strong cash trade this week. Last week was just unbelievable, unprecedented, really. You see this type of jump in beef prices, the choice average leaping almost $19 in just 1 week, firmly above $3 for that number, and just really all around supportive. We're heading into the summer season. You know, retailers already booked up for the Memorial Day holiday, but now we've got Father's Day after that and probably some warmer weather, potentially some break in the showers we would expect leading into June that'll allow us to get those grills out. But everybody, you know, generally pretty optimistic here recently, and we've seen an uptrend this last week and a half or so for the cattle.
What about for the hogs right now, Joe?
Hogs still under some technical pressure. I'd call it technical because that fits with what we're seeing out of the speculators having been liquidating their position pretty aggressively lately. They had taken it to just about a record net long leading into this month of May, but now reducing that quite considerably. We're seeing that they're at least probably down to a half or less of that record net long, or almost record net long. And they're wanting to just step out of the market and wait and see what's ahead with some of these headlines, all of the risk here with the economy. I think we should get back to, like, for beef, thinking about a stronger consumer position and the summer being ahead, and ultimately, like, cattle and the cash market there, hogs have now stretched to a big enough discount to the cash trade. I think we can start to find some support for these summer contracts, at least.
And Joe, what did we learn with the latest consumer index data that we've gotten, and kind of the overall economy data, and how that relates to, we know the protein sector is when the economy is doing well, people tend to buy protein a little bit more. Has the latest news been good, bad, or otherwise?
A little bit of both, where we see the consumer price index report that you mentioned, all measures of inflation pretty well still high and a problem to watch out for, but yet also showing signs of cooling. And that was certainly the latest CPI report reaction. It was favorable that it was down slightly over the previous month. We're still ahead of the Fed's preferred 2% target roughly for inflation. But it was something that inflation did start to show signs of reducing.
There are so many decisions that go into being a successful soybean farmer. Plant date, row spacing, water management, crop rotation, soil temperature, cover crop, soil pH, nutrients, water conditions. Whew. At least becoming a farmer member of the Iowa Soybean Association is one straightforward decision in your life. If you market at least 250 bushels of soybeans annually, ISA's farmer membership is available at no additional cost thanks to your soy checkoff investment. Just activate or confirm online and start reaping the benefits. It's a no-brainer. The Iowa Soybean Association proudly celebrates 60 years of moving our industry forward.
Well, the NCBA has been closely monitoring the use of the Endangered Species Act, or what they would consider the misuse of it. We'll talk about gray wolves and grizzly bears next with NCBA on Iowa Ag Matters.
Trying to do things better are our nation's and Iowa's beef producers. Let's talk about that here on Iowa Ag Matters this morning. Andy and Dustin Riley making it sound good. Out of Washington, D.C., Dustin was able to bring you access to those working on our behalf in the nation's capital. Here's more.
We're talking right now with Caitlin Glover. She's Executive Director of Public Lands Council and NCBA Natural Resources. Caitlin, thanks so much for talking with us today.
Well, thanks so much for taking the time. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right. So we obviously, you talk a lot about the western part, which that's where Iowa is. And so talk about some of the things you guys have got going on. I know the grizzly bear, even though it's not a problem for Iowa, it's setting a precedent that could be a problem later on for producers. You want to talk about what's going on there?
Yeah, you know, that's exactly right. You know, when we talk about the Endangered Species Act, we talk about a long history of real engagement, of wanting to conserve species, of wanting to save the really special species and places and plants across the United States. But what we've seen with species like the grizzly bear or the gray wolf really is just a misuse of the act itself. The act over time has become so adulterated and so ineffective that you see species like the wolf or the grizzly bears go on the list and then never get delisted. The Fish and Wildlife Service recently finalized four separate rules on the Endangered Species Act, dealing with everything from how agencies talk to each other under consultation to incidental take. So what would happen if a farmer or rancher encountered one of these animals on their operation? And what would happen if that animal was disturbed, killed, or injured, right? But when it comes to grizzly bears, we see the agency continuing to struggle with how to deal with the conflicts between ranchers and these species. In the North Cascades, not in Iowa, but our friends in the Pacific Northwest, where a lot of these cows come on really green grass, we're seeing the Fish and Wildlife Service take steps to reintroduce grizzly bears into ecosystems that already have a lot of apex predators. Whether it's mountain lions or wolves, the conflict continues to increase. And so you're right. It might not be bears coming to, you know, an Iowa plain near you, but I think your friends in Montana who are starting to see bears in cornfields and in hay fields would definitely tell you guys that the pressure is coming.
And why is it that they're introducing them to areas that we would normally not think of finding them? Usually you think of a bear in the forest, up in the mountains, somewhere like that. why would they introduce them to areas that are not normally where they would be?
So I think one of the challenges with the Endangered Species Act is that this concept of best available science and historic range, the range changes over time. And the best available science for the agency often omits some of the things that are common sense or best available science to the general public. And so we're going to see the Fish and Wildlife Service drop these bears into ecosystems where they haven't been for many, many years, because nature informed their patterns. And the Fish and Wildlife Service is going down this inherently political path that doesn't follow the best available science.
And you know, you mentioned the gray wolf. I came from Minnesota, so believe me, I got to hear a lot about that before I moved to Iowa. And you know, that situation was the fact that they had already surpassed and recovered and should have been taken off the Endangered Species Act, and they weren't. And why are they allowed to remain on when there's a threshold that allows them to go on, but that threshold should say that they're back?
Well, and Dustin, I think this is the problem, right? You know, the Endangered Species Act was really well intended, but when you see a law that it has been adulterated, it has been, you know, sort of chipped away at over the years, you have a system that just doesn't work anymore. You can get species onto the list, but you can't get them off, no matter how successful your work has been, whether it's in Minnesota or in the Great Lakes region or in the Northern Rocky Mountain population, or even over in the Pacific Northwest. We see healthy, thriving populations, but a mechanism that just doesn't work. Even when you hit those goals, it's not able to get those species off the list. The agency fails, the public fails, and it allows the worst actors to exploit it. That's why our work with Congress is so important, to make sure not only that we're addressing the species-specific issues, but also addressing the larger ESA challenges that really have hampered us for decades now.
May is National Beef Month, and with the warmer temperatures of the spring season, there's no better time to fire up the grill and enjoy some quality Iowa-raised beef. We all know that beef tastes great, but it can also be an important part of a healthy, balanced diet. Just a 3-ounce serving of beef provides more than 10 essential nutrients like protein, iron, zinc, and vitamins B12 and B6, while only clocking in around 170 calories on average. Studies have also shown that lean beef can help to maintain normal cholesterol levels and promote heart health. On top of that, beef is a highly versatile meat that can be enjoyed in everything from burgers to steaks and tacos to pizzas. Beef cattle are also excellent nutrient upcyclers. About 90% of what they eat can't be digested by humans, making them invaluable to a sustainable food system. Support your local Iowa beef producer by enjoying some nutrient-dense beef during this National Beef Month. This message brought to you by your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Well, the skies have let up just a little bit here in Des Moines, but Andy, get ready. It's probably heading your direction. The rain still falling, and we will keep an eye on that for you and see how that plays out. But we are at the end of another episode of Iowa Ag Matters. Thank you for tuning in. I'm, of course, Dustin Hoffman, Andy Peterson with us as well. Riley, thanks for making us sound good. Mark, thanks for all the market stuff as well. And, of course, thank you for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.